Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. We are here to encourage you, inform you of not good news, but great news, and to lift up Christ. And our special guest today is none other than Steve Snow. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you so much, Curtis. Thank you for having me on today. It's just a blessing and an honor to be here and to share with your listeners what God is doing in and among those believers right here in Chico.
What is that exactly?
So a lot of the listeners out there, they know that I'm an area coordinator for Operation Christmas Child. But even other than that, every day as believers, we share the good news that God has given us. And I have the opportunity in my life, with God's blessing and the talent and skill that He's given me, that I actually get to go to third world countries. And not only with Operation Christmas Child, but I'm part of a ministry called TechServe International.
Please tell us a little bit about that, Steve.
Okay, what I've done is I retired from AT&T. I started out as a cable splicer with Pacific Telephone. And that gift and skill, when I started, I learned something. I was very good at it. And I thought, this is really cool. I've got a good job. It supports my family. But along the way, I became a believer. In 1978, I gave my life to the Lord. And everything changed from that point, that God showed me that not only am I working for a great company who's given me great talent and skills, but I'm going to use those for His ministry. My life changed in 1978.
And how have you used those skills and talents for His ministry? And how did your life change in 1978?
I went to, this is kind of comical for a lot of people who hear my testimony, but I went to Knott's Berry Farm to ride Montezuma's Revenge. It was a brand new ride. And as you guys know, if you're not familiar with Knott's Berry Farm today, it's kind of like Six Flags Magic Mountain kind of a thing or something. I went there to ride a ride, but my wife, and who was a brand new Christian at the time, and my best friend, who was a brand new Christian at the time, and his wife, who was a Christian of 5 years, took me there because it was a Christian night, all Christian night. That night, they believed that if I could listen to Christian musicians and the message that they had and my love for music, that it would change my life. They were right. I went to a Keith Green concert that night. He spoke, and I heard God's voice, and I realized for the first time, because I always knew there was a God, but I didn't believe God could love me. And that night, He showed me and proved to me that God did love me, and not only loved me, but He could change me, and He had a plan for me. And Keith had a ministry at the time, and he encouraged everybody to get out in the world and disciple.
So Keith Green had an impact in your life.
Yes, he did. He had a great impact. He was a great example of what God does through people who just follow the scripture that says make disciples out of the whole world and care about people, provide shelter, a home, and a loving hand and a lift up and all that. And he was one who had, he started Last Days Ministries. And I got involved in that in 1978.
That was a part of the Jesus movement, wasn't it?
That was a big part of the Jesus movement. And I would go, my wife and I would go down to Huntington Beach, is where we lived at the time. And I was went to high school there, and we were living there. And we would hand out tracts, Last Days Ministry tracts on the beach, and tell people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know that much about it, but that's what we did. And it was an amazing time in our life.
Amazing. So, Steve, you say to me, and you told me that you weren't really a missionary, but that you go on mission projects and you do mission work as the doors open. What exactly, how have those doors opened exactly for you? What is it that you actually do voluntarily that leads open to these mission projects?
Well, and thank you for asking. Here's what I have. I have this skill that I can, in a telecommunications world, I have a skill that I can find cable trouble, repair cable trouble, and restore communication systems. And what the need is around the world today, and even back then, in 1978, we were new at going in and putting in new telecommunications. I can give you one that's local here. In 1980, I went to the Young Life Camp in Woodleaf, who never had a phone system. And that was a phone system that I put in with a group of guys from Southern California around the Anaheim area. Mm-hmm. We put the first one in there, and that was so that was my first taste. And right after that, I was asked to go to the Philippines. There was a project going on, and this is when Marcos was being ousted. And it was tremendous turmoil and trouble with the NPA, the New People's Army, and a lot of the indigenous groups that Wycliffe Bible Translators was working with were in danger of losing their life. And so they wanted to build a compound in the Philippines where they can bring the groups doing the translation work from in the field to bring it into a compound, a safe haven, if you will, so they could do Bible translation. And I went there with a team. That was my first trip in 1984, I believe. I went to that one.
So you started with missions around 1984?
Well, I started with that missions group a little earlier than that. We were part of Wycliffe Bible Translators. There was a department called WET, Water, Electrical, and Telephone. And I joined that group of believers to use my skills to help that group of guys that were working in water systems and electrical systems and telephone systems. And so we were doing work at that time for Wycliffe. We broke away from there and started their own company, these guys, and they called it TechServe International, with the idea that they wouldn't only do jobs for Wycliffe, but all ministries like New Tribes and just, you know, AIM, African Inland Mission, and just missionaries all over the world.
So after how many years altogether have you been doing mission projects?
Well, I started my first actual mission trip was Woodleaf in 1980, and this is so about 35 years. I've been actually in the mission field doing telecommunications work. And but I want to clarify something.
Go ahead.
When I'm selected to do a project, I don't volunteer for the projects, but the people have a skill levels of technicians, and the project picks us. And here's what I've learned over all the years, and this is a learning process for me. 36 years later, I'm still learning how God is using me for his purposes. But here's what I find out, is that my skill level has them select me. So that's why they pick me to go on a project. And then my job is to raise the funds so I can go do the project. But that is never why God sends me. God sends us for what he has given us. He's given us a transformed heart. And this has taken me a lot of years to learn. But when I go on these mission fields, I'm dedicated to completing the project. But God wants to share his love. And
he does that through us, correct?
Oh, man, he does.
And what have been some of the experiences, testimonies that you could share from God experiencing or expressing his love through you to some of the people that you've ministered to while you've been abroad doing ministry work or doing projects that has led to ministry?
Well, let me just give you a real good one. It started in the Philippines, but I'm going to skip that story. I'm going to move forward to 2005 when I was asked to go to Kenya.
Go ahead. We'd all love to hear what happened.
Well, the project in Kenya, we were to fly a team into Nairobi, Kenya, and then we were to drive across the Great Rift Valley, and they were going to a little area called Latine. And Latine has an existing hospital that had maybe about 40 or 50 beds. I don't remember the exact deal, but it was built in 1936, and it was just dilapidated, fallen down, made out of wood, and it was just in terrible, terrible shape. And what the church did, African Inland Mission Church there in Latine, for 9 years, they collected donations. They sold trees and different things. And they got the money in a 9-year period, and they built a brand new hospital. And it was a 3-story, unbelievable, amazing building. And it took them 9 years to construct. Little by little, they built this building. And the TechServe had promised them that when they built the building, that we would send a team in to put a communication system in the new hospital, tie it together to the old existing hospital, which is about a quarter mile apart on the same property, and give them something that they desperately needed.
So that was a pretty powerful way of the Lord using you.
Yes, and the whole team and so we didn't know what to expect. We knew the building was constructed the way it was constructed, and we knew that we needed about 6 people, but we went in there with 4. And we found out that the project was much bigger than what we had expected. But they gave us a group of amazing technicians, electrical guys, actually, right there from the mission field. And I want to share with you another thing, too, that when we go in there, we don't know that they don't know white people, okay? When we went in there, we were like freaks. You know, in our country, we see black people every day all the time. But where we went, they never see white people. And so we were in an area where children would just stop and stare, and we didn't understand what it was that they didn't get, because we didn't realize until the people there told us that their children had never seen a white person. So that was kind of a real experience for us. But let me just tell you something amazing that happened in this project.
Go ahead.
We were there for 3 weeks. We trained a lot of people to do what we do, because we knew when we leave we're not going to be able to help them again. So our job is to train them up so that the system, new system we put in, they can handle it. And so we were taking them to school and we were teaching them, and we're also completing this project. Well, when that project was finished, it was an interesting time, because it was a hospital building and it had a communication system, but that doesn't help anybody. You know what I mean?
And I know what you mean.
Yeah. So there was no doctors. There was no hospital beds. There was nothing but electrical system and a phone system in a vacant building. And I was really discouraged when we left there, because I knew we did an amazing thing, but I knew it also wasn't going to help anybody, because you couldn't take the old hospital and put it in the new hospital, because it would still be an old hospital. Mm-hmm. So when we left there, there was a director in Nairobi. We got back in Nairobi, and the director asked me, did you guys get a copy of the list? And so the story is about this list.
Go with that.
And we didn't understand what the list was, but he said, I need to meet with you today. And so he met with us. He took us to this unbelievable place. It's called The Carnivores, a restaurant. And I think we ate 14 different animals out of like safari animals. We ate the most unusual exotic animals. It was crazy. But it was a great experience. This restaurant would feed over 800 people, so it was huge. But anyway, we met there, and he gave us this copy of the list. He said, God told me to give you this list. And when he handed it to us, we were shocked, because it was 12 pages, double-sided, of all the things that make a hospital a hospital. And I went, oh my gosh, Lord, I can't carry this burden. How could you do this to us? And I asked the director, I said, sir, why is it that we need to have the list? And he said, why are you concerned about that? God told me to give you the list, and you have a problem with doing what God has told me to give to you. And I said, but I don't know what to do with it. He said, you're not to know what to do with it. That's God's issue. You're supposed to have it. God will do the rest. And I'm telling you, I didn't understand this kind of faith, because I witnessed it in the Philippines. I witnessed this other place, but I never witnessed it in my life. And it kind of concerned me, and it kind of panicked me to have something so precious and valuable, millions of dollars worth of stuff that makes a hospital a hospital, and God told him to give it to me. So we took it. My brother was with me, and my best friend, Weston Severson, who's the director of TechServe International. And so we leave there with this list. We go back to our quarters. And the next morning, we were going to go on a safari. And so I told the people there that we're going to go on an early morning safari, but we'll be back for lunch. And we panicked over the fact that we had this list, because we didn't know what to do with it. And even though he told us, don't worry about it. It's a God thing. And I hear God's voice, and he tells me I obey. Just to be obedient. Well, anyway, the next day, coming back to lunch, we go in this room, and the people are very nice and gracious, and they serve you. You sit down at tables, and people are sitting at all different tables. So you don't get to sit with your group. You have to find a chair, and that's the way they want it, because you're going to share stories. So I sit down at this table, and the gentleman next to me says, hi, what's your name? I tell him. He says, where are you going? I says, well, we're leaving. We're going home. Really, tell me about where you've been. And I said, well, I've been to Latin. We installed a phone system into a hospital that's not a hospital. He said, well, tell me about that. What was it like? I said, well, it was kind of discouraging. I said, it's not a hospital. We put a phone system in. It's an amazing thing. It works great. We got everything wired. We got all the sets in, and everything's ready for them. but it's not a hospital. And I says, and on top of that, they gave us the list. And he looked bright-eyed and said, you have the list? Like everybody knew what the list was. And I'm going, dude, you know about the list? He goes, hold on a second. Is it hospital things that you got this list? I go, yeah. He says, it's items for a hospital? I go, yeah. He stood up at the table and he yelled across the room to his friend. And he said to his friend, he said, these guys have a list and we want to have a meeting in the foyer. So we ate our lunch. We go in the foyer. And this guy tells me that he's from a ministry at a Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. They have miles of warehouses filled with hospital equipment. Mm-hmm. That when hospitals in America upgrade to their new equipment, they ship them their old equipment. They just give it away. And these guys have a ministry of building hospitals.
Mm. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So he says to me, can I see the list? And so I go to my roommate. We give him the list. Mm-hmm. He looks through the 12 pages. He says, great, I got all this stuff. And I went, Lord, did he just tell me? And I felt this amazing, all of us, my brother and my friend Weston, this amazing lift of this pressure, this weight that we had, that the list, in a few hours, made it to its destination. Another person in this meeting at lunch was looking for a list. And we said to him, what are you going to do with the list? He says, well, first of all, we're going to meet with the Kenya government. We're going to make sure that if we put these things in a container, that we need the government to escort this container to its destination. Otherwise, it would never get there. And he said, and then we're going to take that container that you guys are going to purchase for us, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're going to give it to the government, and they're going to give us another piece of property in Kenya where we're going to build another hospital.
Wow.
And so it was a connection that God had already had planned. The timing was perfect. We were in the right place at the right moment at exactly the right time. That this list got to these guys, and it made a chilling effect in our lives.
It was a divine appointment.
It was a divine appointment. We had not seen one. We realized how little our faith is, how great their faith is.
I bet you your faith increased that day, though, right?
Well, my faith not only increased, but my God got so much bigger than anything I'd imagined, and he was awfully big to begin with.
He wants to be big in our eyes.
He was great in our eyes, but the other thing he showed me is that he uses just ordinary people to do these extraordinary things, and that he is doing many, many things in parallel, and it all comes together in his timing.
Amen.
And the only thing we had to do was to raise $12,000 to buy a container. And my buddy Weston said, it's not a problem. I have 12 churches. They'll raise $1,000 apiece, and they get the credit for the container, which not only gets the hospital equipment to make a Latin hospital a hospital, but it also is a container that'll buy another piece of property to make another hospital and build another hospital.
That's powerful. That's our God. That's our God. That's how big and mighty our God is.
It is how big and mighty he is. And you know, the thing is that it changed our lives, and it gave us a story to share with people that that he always has a purpose, another purpose for us, for them, and for all concerned. And we may not realize it if we don't pay attention and be willing messengers.
Alert, alert. Paying attention means to be alert, to be awake, and to be able to respond or to answer when God calls us to.
That's exactly right. But I want to share another thing that happened on that trip.
Can you give us a moment, and then when we come back, can you do that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Listeners, I hope you're being encouraged, and I hope you're really enjoying today's show. Our guest in the studio is Steve Snow, and he does missionary projects. He's not necessarily a missionary, but he goes to do projects for telecommunications, and the Lord uses him. I want to just encourage you guys out there and let you guys know that it's a pleasure every week coming to you, talking to you, encouraging you. And I am really hoping that you guys would give a call to the studio just to give me some feedback. You know, I really want to hear what you guys think about this show. I'm really interested in knowing what your guys' feelings are, what your input is, if there's something you like to hear. You know, what is your feedback regarding this show? And if you would give me that call just to let me know, the number is 894-7325. The name of the show is Christ Today. It airs Saturdays from 11 to 12. And my name is Curtis Smith, and I love all of you out there. I hope this is really touching you. So anyways, we're going to get back to the show, and feel free to give us a call if you like, 894-7325. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you so much, and I apologize in advance because I do have a dry throat today. So, but the other story I wanted to share with you on this mission trip that happened about in the middle of this three-week period, we were notified by the director of this hospital that there were going to be 14, they were tribal leaders, Christian leaders for 14 of the tribes that were going to cross that Great Rift Valley and come and visit us because they had to see us. And I asked the question, when you say had to see us, why would 14 tribal leaders have to see us? And they told me that it don't be concerned with that. Just be ready, because Friday they're going to be here, and we're going to have a meeting, and we have a room set up. And when they get here, we're going to call you to come away from your project to come into this meeting to meet with the tribal leaders. And we said, okay, but secretly and privately to ourselves, we said to each other verbally that we keep getting disrupted in a project that was twice as big as we could do, but yet they stop us. And you can't stop for an hour because we're a quarter mile away, we're walking. And so a quarter or half an hour gets 2 hours. But we were looking forward to why these leaders would want to meet with us. So when the day came and the 14 tribal leaders, and there was one woman and the rest were men, and we were real curious why they wanted to meet with us. They brought us gifts. But here was the thing that we were awed in, is that we were older. And that people our age, I'm 66 today, but I was 58
then. Happy birthday.
I was 58 then. And they said that we don't do what you do because people your age are leaders in our country, and we don't work. And what we were doing, we realized we couldn't work in 12-hour days and get the job done, so we were working 16-hour days to get the job done. And so this greatly impressed them because we were working twice as many hours as their people. And they had to increase their people's hours to work with us, and they hadn't seen anybody do this. But here's what was odd to them, and I'll share this with you.
Go ahead.
The leaders wanted to know, did we have a family? And we said, yes. Are you a husband of one wife? And we said, yes. We're husbands of one wife. And they said, do you have children? Yes, we have children. And do you have grandchildren? We said, yes. And then they said, and you traveled from America? I said, yeah. The far side of America, we traveled from California. Mm-hmm. And you came to Africa? And we said, yes. You spent your money? Yes. And that's a great sum of money? We said, yes. Great thousands of dollars in their eyes. That looks like millions in their monies, right? And then they said, and you came across the Great Rift Valley to a people you never met, a people you've never laid eyes on, to do work 16-hour days, to complete a project. And he said, please explain to us, where does that kind of love come from? And I want to tell you, listeners, the light went on. Our mission was not the hospital. Our mission was not the communication system. Our mission was to share God's great love that we possess that they did not possess. And we got a chance to share with them that God has transformed our lives, given us a gift and a skill, and a love to share that with others, and it wasn't ours to keep. It didn't belong to us. Our money was not our money. Our life was not our life. Our gifts were not our gifts. Our job was to share it and to go and spread the love and joy that He had given us, and they were shocked because they had never witnessed it, and they didn't know how to attain it.
And they probably wanted what you guys had, am I not mistaken?
They wanted it. They had heard stories. They had gotten feedback, and they said, we have to meet those people. But I want to tell you something that I got to share with them, and that they are very tribal. And they have 14 different tribal leaders of the tribes, and they cannot intermarry. You could be a born-again Christian in this tribe, fall in love with a born-again Christian woman in the other tribe, and you're not allowed to marry her. If you did, you'd be discarded from the tribe and chastised and abandoned. And I shared with them that if we're born again Christians and we're all the same family, God doesn't see colors. We all came from the same place.
That's true.
We all are descendants of Abraham. We're all brothers and sisters. We are in one tribe. If we're of one tribe, how can you have 45 tribes in a country when we're one tribe in God's eyes? And I shared with them that we didn't realize until we got there that they are very racial, they're very prejudiced, and they lack love that God has given us. We lack their faith, but they lack our love, our unconditional love, that God's grace transformed our heart, knowing that everything we have belongs to Him, and the best we can do is figure out a way to share it with others.
You got that right on. That is so true. It's taking what God has given us and to give it out. Well, love isn't love until you give it away. It seems like God, through you, expressed His love. You know, He shared His love through you. He gave you the ability that you didn't have to share. And your thing was, is he didn't call you to love Him so you could love. He called you to love Him so you could recognize your inability and receive His ability to love others. Am I not correct?
You're absolutely correct. And the other thing is, when we're training these young technicians, and they're all in their young 20s, is as we're training them up and giving them new skills that they've never possessed before, we told them, what we've learned someone gave us, and when we give it to you, it's not yours. It's to share.
Give it away.
Give it away. You have to give it away. And they would say, why should we give this away? And I said, here's why. You're an electrician, you're a college graduate, and now you're a telecommunications expert. Someone will hire you out from under this ministry. Your job is to not leave them lacking. It is sinful for you not to share what we've given you freely, so that when someone hires you for more money and you go to another job, you don't leave these people lacking for what we've given you freely. And they got it. Took a while.
You know, we're talking about love here, folks. We're talking about giving it away. And, you know, Steve, why in your opinion do you feel or do you believe, or maybe you see what I see, why is it that we as American Westernized Christians, why do we want to hold on to what we have and not give it away?
You know, I'm not sure. I have to go back to pre-Christ to realize that. But I know this, is that in a job, we're looking to climb higher. We're looking to climb the corporate ladder. We want to get as much as we can. And for selfish reasons, we want to climb over people. So there's a reason why we don't want someone to have more than we have. If you just look at advantages, having a college degree, advantages, having served your country in the military, advantages, having this. And then we look at all the advantages because we look for reasons why we want to rise to the top, that we would be selected. But when you become a Christian, you realize that all those things, the schools, the college, the military, all the training you got was always part of God's plan to mold you and shape you into what He called you to be.
Correct with that. But also, if we help others and if we do for others and if we're a part of blessing others, aren't we going to get quicker a lot of times than if we just did for ourselves? Isn't it come back to us? And doesn't God, when our focus is on helping others and loving others, doesn't that take us a lot further than when we just do for ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. You get the joy of doing it. And also it goes into our account. And here's another thing. When we freely give it away, I think that people realize that they need to do the same. And I think people who have been helped by people want to help someone else. It's that pass it forward kind of thing. Even I think for non-believers, they get that sense that when I've been helped, I want to lift up someone else to do that. And you know what else? Out of all the countries I've been to, I don't believe anybody does it better than America. I don't believe that anybody is willing to share and give away more than we do.
And that's to other countries?
Well,
or is
yeah.
that to within ourselves? Because there's times where I feel like we want to hold on and not give, and there's a lot of people that keep asking for us to give, and you would think that if we were giving a lot, we wouldn't be having to hear a lot of people asking for us to give.
That's true. But then when you stop and look, and you look at our organizations like the American Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, you look at all these missionary groups, Wycliffe, who's trying to translate every single language into a written language so that every spoken language on the planet would get their copy of the gospel message so that they can read that letter from God in their own language, that language would be preserved, and it would be like as if God talked to them in their language to make it personal. And the other thing is, too, in a disaster anywhere in the world, the first group to show up will be Samaritan's Purse every time. I work with Samaritan's Purse, and you know what they told me their goal is? To beat CNN to the disaster.
Tell us a little bit about Samaritan's Purse, since you work with them, you know a little bit about them. What is Samaritan's Purse?
Well, Samaritan's Purse is a relief organization. They're an organization who always, number one, goes in the name of Jesus Christ. Always, number one, they get there to assess a disaster, and they always arrive with many things that they know from experience, that whatever the disaster is, if it's war, they know what to bring. If it's flood, they know what to bring. If it's a fire, they know what to bring. Their people are trained, equipped. Their planes are on the ground, filled and ready to go. And they have a war room. They don't call it that. I call it that. But they have a word for it. But it's a disaster. I forget what the acronym is. But it's a disaster team. And they're looking around the world in this war room at potential disasters. And they're staging before that disaster hits. If they know about it, they're staging vehicles and products, relief that they can take immediately, because their goal is to get there, come in the name of Jesus, and help people. And here's another thing that we don't know how they do this, and this was amazing to learn from me. They always go in that country through a local church. They have lists through Operation Christmas Child, churches who give shoeboxes. And they have churches and pastors who receive shoeboxes. So they have a list of hundreds of thousands of contacts in every country. And when they go, they not only go in the name of Jesus, but they go through the local church. Mm-hmm. So it looks like that they are helping themselves through God's eyes. Okay? So Samaritan's Purse doesn't want the credit for it. They want Jesus to get the credit for it, because that's all about him.
Well, isn't it that he should get the credit instead of anybody, any organization taking the credit? Christ should receive the credit. Christ should receive the glory.
Exactly. And that's what I love about that, because if you're not one of the insiders and go to the corporate meetings and the yearly conferences, you don't really get to tour and see just exactly the heart of this ministry. And I have not even imagine anything more glorious in God's eyes. I try to see it through God's eyes. I say, God, you have to love this, because these people love you, they serve you, they're dedicated to you, and you bless it. That's the deal. He has blessed this ministry beyond imagination.
And that's what he does. He does bless us beyond our imagination. If we be what he wants us to be, and if we allow him to use us, he'll use us. He wants to work with us. But the blessings always come. We just have to learn to praise and have to learn to be open to receiving when he wants to bless us. Am I not correct, Steve?
You're absolutely correct. I don't believe that we can out-give, out-serve, out-anything in our lifetime, because God's potential to use us for his glory is unmatched. It has no end. And
it never runs out.
It never runs out. No, and you know what amazes me, Curtis, and our listeners.
What would that be?
Is that God actually uses me, and I'm just an ordinary guy who just got into the business of just trying to have something more for my family. I went to work for Pacific Telephone. I got an amazing blessing, skill. God blessed me an ability to learn fast, to learn more, to expand all that I had, not knowing that he was going to use it for his purposes. And I love that, because when he gives you a passion for something, I want to tell you, if you're out there and you have a passion for something, whatever it is you're doing, I promise you, God will use that passion for his glory.
That's so true.
Yep. And in the mission field, I support those who are out preaching the gospel in that. And it doesn't matter to me if the doctors are going to a hospital to share their skills. I want to be there with a system that they can Skype back to the United States. They can send digital documents and things back to the United States so that they can have an army of people helping them make decisions in a hospital, in a surgical place, where their technology was as if they were sitting right here in Chico. That we can take technology into a third world country as if they were sitting here. We can do it today through satellite in a place where there's nothing. We can make a hospital. We can build a hospital. We can put a satellite dish in. We can bring internet and Wi-Fi and Skype, and doctors can come there as if they're sitting at home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So incredible.
Yeah, the stuff that's going on today, people, is will blow your mind. And if we have time, I want to share the other story that I have. It's another African story.
Well, we do have time. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to tell you about the story of I was called to go on another mission trip to and it was telephone work, and it was in a place called Donja, Niger. Now, Donja is a place that's way out of the capital city of Niamey, which is where we land. We go to Niamey in Niger, which is the country right above Nigeria. And folks, you'll know that Nigeria is the most populous country in all of Africa, or the populous country in the African continent. And Niger is right above it. And Niger, half of the country is Sahara, the Sahara Desert, so there's not much there. And the lower half that's right above Niger is where the population is. And so we were going to this place that, if you will, we land in the west side of Niger, but we take small planes to the right side of the bottom of that country, just above Nigeria, to a place called Donja. And what happened is, in these villages out there, they have a people's tribes who have a tendency to marry young girls. Sometimes it's through marriage and sometimes it's through rape, but they're young girls or teenagers, young teenagers, sometimes very young, and they get pregnant and they can't have babies because they're just not big enough, they haven't matured enough, they can't have children, and the result of that is damage, and it's called fistula. And so these girls, these women, these young ladies have been tossed away like trash. They've been thrown away. And so some Christian amazing organizations decided that they were going to build a hospital. And it's called the Fistula Fund, Fistula Worldwide Fund Hospital. And they built this hospital in Donja right next to a hospital that's a leprosy hospital that was built in the 1950s. So there's this dilapidated old hospital, a leprosy hospital, and they built this bright new, shining, amazing, brand new hospital, the Fistula Fund Worldwide Hospital, for a place to repair these damaged women, and there's tens of thousands of them in Africa. Our job was to go there and build a communication system so that if you build it, they will come. Build the hospital, put the communication system in. Doctors from all faiths, from all over the country, all over the world, will come. They come from Canada. They come from Cuba. They come from Australia, New Zealand. They come from Great Britain. They come from Ireland. So doctors come from all over. And there's this one doctor who specialized in this fistula surgery. And anyway, when we get back, so I can go on. So I want to tell you that this doctor has perfected a surgery, this fistula surgery, and they can repair these women very quickly through this surgery, and their surgery practices are very, very successful. But here's the other good news about this hospital. The doctors, they have several surgical beds in there. They can do six surgeries at the same time, and then they send them to the recovery room, and they have over 100 beds of recovery. So the doctors can do these surgeries in mass forms. They can bring in 100 women, do 100 surgeries, and get the women to the recovery rooms. But what's neat about this is there's no cost to the people. They can repair these damaged women to the tune of 97% of these women who have been damaged, they can fix. Now, the other 3% that they can't fix, they can't do the surgery because of infections and problems that they have with their health. They wouldn't survive the surgery, so they don't attempt it. So those women, they can't help. except through prayer, and if God can miraculously heal them, but they can't give them comfort through surgery or help through surgery. But 97%, 97 out of 100, they repair and they fix, and they bring them back to a normal, functional body that can have children. Now, the interesting thing is that when they're in recovery, there's a chaplain sitting between every two beds. So a chaplain is giving them the gospel message because they want to know why someone would come in and help them and fix them. Who are they? Where did they come from? And they get to tell them it's about Jesus. And so they tell them that all these doctors come in to help them because the Lord has given them a skill that they have perfected to fix them physically, but more importantly, that they want them to know a God that loves them, has a plan for them. They want to share that love with them. And then they send them back to the village that tossed them out. You see, God has a plan for these women. They were thrown away. He came to them. He repaired them, fixed them, gave them a gospel message. And now when they go to their village, they are a walking testimony. How did you get fixed? Some people came. Who sent them? God. How do you know it was God? Because they told me. And then what? Well, then they told me about this God that loves me. And so this God sent people to fix you, yes. And this God sent people to share that he loves you, yes. And he has a plan for you. What is your plan? To come back to you, to tell you, and to share with you how much he loves me. And the proof is that he repaired me and fixed me. I wasn't supposed to die, but I was supposed to live. And the message is, the day that we were born, we began to die. But the day that we're born again, we begin to live. And so they send these women back into their village with a faith that God loves them. They can move mountains. He's proved it and demonstrated it through their surgery and through the testimony of these chaplains. They try and give them a skill before they leave. It could be sewing. They have sewing rooms. They have all kinds of things where they try to give them a skill so that they can make money. And they try and help them to have maybe chickens or a goat or something like that so that they can actually be an entrepreneur also as they go back.
Wow. That's amazing how God takes somebody, turns them around, works on them, fixes them, and then uses them to minister to the people that kicked them out in the first place. And hopefully those people come to Christ that did that because they see such a miracle that's walking in their midst.
Yeah, and let me tell you then the story. Now, that's the story about the doctors and the story of why we went to help them. But let me tell you the other story, the physical story that we got. Pardon me.
It's okay.
Our job was to not only hook the two hospitals together, but to connect the hospital to a compound where the doctors will stay. It's about between a quarter mile and a half a mile away. And this property is huge. These missionaries own. It's huge. It's bigger than Chico. It's probably as big as Butte County. So this property goes back to a headquarters where you have a place to stay, a safe place where the doctors will live.
Mm-hmm.
So our job was to take a cable that's connected to the hospital, to take it back to where they're living when they come there to stay, so that the Wi-Fi in the hospital that we put a satellite uplink to connect to a Wi-Fi network goes back to where they'll be staying so that they can communicate with the doctors that are in the hospital, doctors that are rotating into the hospital, and also with their families back at home. So they have Wi-Fi, internet, Skype, and the whole thing. So we had to put this cable in. Now, to do that, we had the cable there, but we didn't have a trench. Well, the local natives have built a trench, the original cable, and the power cable in. So they knew where the trench was, so we hired them. So we went to the tribal leaders to say, can you give us some people to dig another trench? Obviously, don't hit the cable, because it's got 480 volts in it, but give us a trench that doesn't hit the electrical cable so we can put a telecommunication cable in, and we would like to give us a bid to do this in one day. And so they did. They gave us a bid to do the work in one day, and we said, okay, and we agreed to it, that we were going to pay them to dig the ditch, place the cable for us, and then cover the ditch up. And so we had a contract, a verbal handshake contract. Now, when all the work was done, and it was amazing that these guys could be stationed a half a mile, stationed far apart with this little hoe in their hand, and they could dig a perfect ditch, 18 inches deep, 6 inches wide, lay that cable in, and it looked like a trencher went through that. So in a very few short hours, they had our ditch dug, our cable placed, and backfilled. And we were astonished that these guys could do this amazing work.
That was a blessing for you guys.
Yes, it was. And so here's the shocking part. I knew that these guys spoke a tribal language, and I knew the tribal leaders spoke French. And I had an interpreter that spoke English and French, and then the French guy would speak to the other guy who spoke to the tribal guys, and so you can kind of get how confusing this was and how we communicated.
Sounds it.
But here was the deal. When we were finished with these guys, I took a lot of baseball caps and stuff, and I gave everybody a baseball cap, thanked them for their work, and told them I thank God for their help because we couldn't do it without them. And they loaded up on a truck to go back to where they were from. And God spoke to me and said, you need to pray for those men. And so I said, don't leave. And I said to the interpreter, I said, excuse me, sir, but would it be permissible for me to pray for these men? Would you ask them? And he did. He said something to them in their language, and they leaped off that truck. There was about 14 or 15 of them, and they jumped off that truck. And they leaped onto the ground, and I was startled. I thought maybe that I was in trouble because I knew that they had a Muslim kind of faith and a tribal kind of faith that was mixed, but it wasn't Christ and Christianity. And so I was shocked, and I was even questioning, did I really hear God's voice to say, pray for these guys? And so I jumped back, and I said to the man, what's going on? He said, they are so excited. I said, so excited? He says, yes, because you see, these guys know the power of your God.
Wow. And, amen.
And when you said that you would like to pray for them, you've already blessed them with a job. You've already blessed them with money. You've blessed them by giving them something. You've even given them some flashlights. I always take extra flashlights because it's so dark that they love the light. And it's symbolic to me also when I can tell the story that we need to walk in the light, and I give them a light and tell them that Jesus is the light. And he wants to be a light in their life and change their life. And so it's pretty symbolic that we take the things we take. But here was the thing. I got the chance to pray for these guys, to thank God for these amazing men and the amazing skills that he's given them. That in minutes that he could rally these guys as if they were waiting for us to be there, to dig this trench for us. But more than that is he wanted to give them a message that God, that he loved them. He deeply, deeply loved them. And I want to share with you folks today that in our country, as we look at what's going on around the world with ISIS and all these terrible groups that are fanatical, and they want to kill Americans, they want to kill Christians, they want to do this, God still loves them.
Yes, he does.
And we would look at them as they're unlovable, but they're not unlovable because God loves them. They're only unlovable if we use our heart, our fleshy heart, but not if we use God's heart.
That's true.
And God shows me all the time how he uses his love in everywhere we go. It's not about the cable. It's not about my splicing skills and how well I can put the connectors on and how well I can make it talk. It's about how deep his passion and love and grace is. And that's what he wants to share, because my cable can't change a life. Only his love and his grace.
But God uses you with the gift that he's given you so that you have an opportunity to share the love that he's given you through the gift that he's given you.
That's exactly right. We are his hands and his feet and his voice. Mm-hmm. And we raise our hand and we say, that project, Lord, here I am, send me. And that project selects me because I have a skill set that maybe others are willing to go or don't want to go. There's hundreds of projects. I don't get asked to go on many. So there's a lot of guys that are going on these others. But every now and then, Weston Severson calls me and he says, Steve, I have to have you on this project. I don't trust anybody else with it. Will you go with me? And I say yes. And people ask me, says, you mean you don't even pray about it? You don't do this? I said, when God selects me, I have the answer. I'm not going to pray about it. If this has been ruled out, and I'm that guy and I trust Weston because he knows to search for all those other younger guys. And if it's me that he needs, I go.
Amen. You know, a lot of people say, let me pray about it. And I think it's okay to pray about things. But I also think at times people use that as an excuse or a way out because they really don't want to do something. It's not that they could or they want to. It's they're looking for an escape route. But my brother, you don't look for escape routes. You look for opportunities in which you can allow the Lord to use you. Am I not correct?
It's exactly correct. And then I panic over the things that I know that are going on in my own life, because I, like every listener out there, I have unbelievable things that I'm going through in my own life with family members and loved ones that are going the wrong direction. They're walking away from God rather than to God.
But God is faithful to take care of you, and as you're out there reaching the people for Him, He is going to reach those that you care about the most. I honestly believe that.
That's true.
We're gonna come back in a moment. Listeners, I want to encourage you once again. Thank you for listening to the show. I hope you've been informed today. Our guest has been Steve Snow, and God uses him in a lot of opportunities and projects that he does in different countries, different places, in ministering the gospel through projects that he does that are part of his volunteer work. And I want to encourage you to give us a call and give us your feedback if you like the show. The phone number for the show is 894-7325. And this is Curtis with Christ Today, and we air from 11 to 12 every Saturday. And we're going to be just sharing a few more minutes with you, and then we will be closing off for today. So, Steve, you were talking about challenges in the ministry, challenges in missionary work. And you said a couple of those were the lack of funding and the lack of faith. But it seems like you don't have a lack of faith. Am I wrong in that? Because you put on the deals that you lack of funding, lack of faith, or is the struggle – talk about what your challenges are.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I we should never compare anything, but when I compare my faith to others around me, I think, well, I have great faith. But when I go to a third world country where people rely on God every single day, that they will pray, God, I need something to eat today. If I could just have an egg, and a chicken walks up and lays an egg at their feet, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Those are the kind of things that I have witnessed in the field. They blow my mind, and I'm thinking, I have access to so many things that I don't know if I'm trusting in God for them or I just take it for granted. But I know this, when I get into a third world country and I examine people with nothing, and I see how their prayers and their faith in God to provide from their day, and it happens every single day, I went, that is amazing, and that's what I'm talking about.
That makes sense.
And the funding thing is that my whole life I've been blessed with a very good job, very good paying job, but now that I'm retired and I have a much less coming in and much more going out, mm-hmm. that funding seems to be a thing, and today's projects are much more expensive than I did. And you know, guys, when I went to Kenya for 3 weeks, AT&T was paying my wages while I was gone, okay? So I spent a lot of money to get there, but it was coming in behind me. You know what I'm saying? But today, my money comes in because I'm retired, but the expenses are great, and so I rely on friends to kind of help me. Now, this job that I have coming up, I'm going to Papua New Guinea with New Tribes Ministry, and let me just briefly tell you about that. New Tribes is a huge compound. They're very much like Wycliffe Bible Translators. They're in the translation business. They have hospitals, medical centers. They have schools and all this stuff. They have a huge compound in Papua New Guinea. They have a 30-year-old switch that's dead. They have 30-year-old buried cable, which is defective. So we're sending a team in there. They have all the equipment. They have all the material. They just don't have the bodies to do it. I was asked 6 months ago if I'll go to Papua New Guinea. They need me and they need my brother, the one that went to Kenya with me. And my brother won't go. He can't go because of health issues. And I was told then, Steve, if we can't have your brother, then I need three of you because you're not as good as your brother. And I said, well, I won't take that as a slam. I take that as a compliment because he's a very skilled man, and I agree with you. And so I couldn't find a guy. I couldn't find anybody. But let me tell you what happened. I called my friends who are Christian friends that know, I know they have money. I know they could go, but they can't go. And so I went to the Union Hall, CWH, Communication Workers of America, went down and talked to the president in Chico. I said, Randy Riggs, would you just talk to your people? I said, I am just desperate for a guy with my skill level, which you have many here, that would they be willing to go to Papua New Guinea, spend 3 weeks of their time? It's going to cost them a ton of money. But would they be willing to serve God in this ministry with me so that we can do for them what we need to be done? Because this project is so much bigger than me. And it's not my lack of faith. It's being real. Okay? There's only so many hours in a day and so many days in a week. And so anyway, Randy says, let me handle this for you. The next day he came back to me and he says, I have somebody who will go. I said, really, who is it? He goes, I'm going. I said, Randy, have you ever left the country? No. Do you have a passport? No. I said, do you know where we're going? Yes. Do you know it's dangerous? Yes. You want to go? He says, please, can you take me? I said, I'd love to take you. And I said, but I need to talk to your wife. And he goes, why? I said, because this is what we have to do. It's fundy. It's costly. It could be over $5,000. I said, you're going to be gone for 3 weeks. It's dangerous because we're going into a third world country where there's some problems. And we need to pray about it. I need to talk to your wife because she has to be supportive. She comes to me and she says, are you kidding? I love the fact that you're taking my husband out of this country. And she says, I've been praying about this. And here's the thing, people. If you don't ask, you won't know that God's got somebody selected. All I had to do was make that connection that God already had. He already had a heart prepared in a man who didn't even know his heart was prepared. He's retired, like me, from what I do, but he's now the union president. He's a God-loving man with many gifts, and he goes, please, please, will you take me? And he's already got his funds. I'm the only guy who's the slacker here. But it's amazing to watch. And what a gracious, gracious man. And I just want you guys out there to, first of all, thank God that we're going. Pray for New Tribes Ministry. Pray for the team we're sending in. Two things, that we will finish the job we're going to do.
Amen.
And share the love with those people who are there sharing their love. And that's what we're asking for. And then God to just protect those we leave behind and take care of all those things that we're not taking care of in our absence. So for all your listeners, if they could keep us in prayer, that's the main thing. And if there's anybody who wants to give support to this project, do not give money to me. It's called techserve.org is the organization. It's TechServe International, but their web address is techserve.org. And you can donate money. Any amount, there's nothing too small. You can donate money, and they're going to ask you what the project name is or something about it. There's a place where you can write. Put it as Steve Snow, S-N-O-W, Steve Snow, and just put PNG Project, Papua New Guinea. Just put PNG because that's a hard word to spell, and they'll know what it is, and they will put it in my funds, and the flights that I've already paid for, but with their credit card, by the way, not mine. I paid for it with their credit card, which is going to come due. And I told them I'm going to rely on God to put the funds in there to pay for this trip.
God will provide.
And God will provide. And I'm not asking you guys for money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But if you want to be part of the project, if you want it to go into your account, and it is tax deductible, but if you want this mission trip to go into your account, and you let me know that you are part of it, I will bring you back the trip and share that trip with you.
We will have you back on the air to do that. But first, before we're going to thank the listeners for listening to our show today. Be encouraged. Find out what God wants you to do, what He'd want to do with you, and go out and do something to touch a life, touch a heart, touch a soul. Maybe you have a gift or a talent that God wants to use through you. And just as my buddy Steve here, just as the guest Steve here has talked about the things that God has used him to do, I know God wants to use you. So not necessarily use you, but together do something with you to touch a soul. Anyways, Steve, let's pray out.
One more thing I want to tell all your listeners. You are a purpose. God loves you, and God has an amazing plan for you.
Amen.
And He gets the glory.
Amen. Let's pray out.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be on the radio, Lord, a technology that belongs to you. And that, Father, that as we reach listeners, Father, that your love would touch their lives, that your grace would share with them that it doesn't matter what we've done in our life. There's nothing and no wrong so big that you can't right. There's no sin so major that you can't forgive. That, Father, you love us. We're a purpose. We're a plan. And that you want to use us for your glory. We are your amazing workmanship. And when we look at the heavens and how vast they are, how amazing they are, how big this Milky Way system is, but yet we're your greatest creation. Father, we can't understand that kind of love. It is magnificent, but I trust and believe in you. Lord, there's some out there that are hurting. And Father, I pray that today that you will reach them, that they'll come to know you, believe you have a plan for them, that they will turn their life towards you. And I know there's people out there that have loved ones that are going astray. And Father, I pray for those loved ones, for these people. that, Father, you will intervene in their lives, that you will bind up Satan, and you will pour your Spirit out, Father, and bring those people to repentance and bring them into your loving family. Father, we thank you for this time, and we love you so much in Jesus' precious name.
Listeners, next week my guest will be Pat Roy. Pat Roy next Saturday from 11 to 12. Have a great week. God bless.